Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Carmen LaBerge. Welcome to Connecting Faith. Thrilled to be with you here today. Thankful for Faith Radio and the opportunity to partner with them in bringing you the headline news of the day and bringing Christ's mind to bear on that headline news. And so when you think about what is trending on social media, when you think about what's going on in the world around you, are there things where you say to yourself, you know what, I'm having a little bit of a challenge figuring out how to get God back into that conversation? I know it's my responsibility as an ambassador of Jesus Christ to enter into the conversations of the day and do so bringing the Christian worldview to bear. But I don't quite know how to do that. I'm a little hesitant. Maybe I'm a little bit afraid. Well, that's what we're here to talk about. We're actually here to talk about what's going on in the world, what the mind of Christ would be on that particular matter, and then give you some conversational talking points about how to actually enter in to those conversations with confidence and clarity and compassion as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I mean, I think we have to face the reality. People don't need just another piece of our mind, but they do very much need the piece of the mind of Christ. And so let's see if we can give that to them. Thrilled to be here with you on Connecting Faith. Thankful for Neil Stavem and thankful for the ongoing work and ministry he's going to be doing at Faith Radio and for the opportunities you're going to have to continue to hear him on this program when I need to be away from the mic and he is going to step back in and join you. So today, I'm looking forward to a conversation that I'm going to have here in about 15 minutes with Justin Gibney. If you are a person who is concerned about the way in which the body of Christ in America does not often effectively reflect the beautiful diversity of every nation under heaven in terms of our witness related to race, then you're going to want to definitely hear the conversation I'm going to have with Justin. Justin is an African-American, grew up in the South, was educated in the South. He's an attorney. And his experiences of being a pro-life Christian and also a Democrat he just has a really interesting point of view, and we need to be engaging in conversations across the partisan divides when we are people of Christ, and in Jesus Christ, every dividing wall of hostility has in fact been brought down. And so how do we live that out in the world? That's what my conversation about Justin is going to be about. But before we get to talk to Justin, I actually have a lot of intersection of faith and politics headlines that I thought would be interesting for us to lift up today, quickly run through, and say to ourselves, okay, now here's an opportunity for me to get God back into the conversation at the intersection of faith and politics. You cannot remove your Christian witness from your political witness, and sometimes we allow our political witness to overwhelm our Christian convictions in our mind. And so I want to talk about a few of these examples today in the headline news. I want to positively lift up to you the witness of Chris Coons. Chris Coons is a Democratic congressman he's a senator, isn't he? Chris Coons is a senator from Delaware. I have the wrong thing in my notes. There you go. And he recently, in a podcast that's called Church Politics, which obviously they talk about the intersection of faith and politics all the time. Anyway, on their podcast, he is talking about his concern that many Democrats feel embarrassed or uncomfortable sharing about their faith and how it connects to their service. And so here is something that he directly said. So this is Chris Coons, senator from Delaware. He said, some of the most progressive members of the Senate, when he uses the word progressive there, he's talking about progressive Democrats, members that I'm very close to, he says, don't ever talk about how it was their experience of faith when they were kids that motivated them to get into public service and politics in the first place. So here's one of the things I'm just going to encourage of each and every one of us. We are going to be in another political campaign cycle this year. It's, you know, every even numbered year is a year in which we have these conversations, because every even numbered year we are in the election process here in the United States. And so as you are having conversations about what's going on in the political world, this is a great conversation to have. For anybody who's running for office, you could simply ask them, like, from your earliest memories, when you think all the way back to when you were a kid, what was your motivation for service? What actually motivates us as Christians to do things that are self-sacrificial? Now, let's just pause there for a moment. It's not our Darwinian scientism, and it's certainly not naturalism that leads us to do things that are self-sacrificial. It's just not. The heart of service grows out of an understanding that, you know, we are people in need of being served by a Savior. And so when we consider in the coming days that we have fellowship with God through Jesus Christ, who on the night of the Last Supper actually, you know, put a towel around his waist and filled up a basin of water and knelt down and washed his disciples' feet. And then he looked at them and he says, now look, I've done this to set an example for you, that you would in turn go and do likewise, that you would do for others what I have done for you. That is actually the motivation out of which many, many people rise into public service, not only here in the United States, but around the world. It is the heart of sacrifice. It is the agape, self-sacrificial love of God manifest in and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to encourage you to encourage people who are in, you know, in every kind of public service field. So whatever you're doing vocationally, and maybe what you're doing as a volunteer today, my guess is that at some level you are doing it out of a heart of serving God. It's what you're called to do as an act of obedience and service to Him, and in many cases, to the benefit of the least of these, our brothers and sisters around us. And so I just lift that up to you today as an encouraging word. I'm appreciative of Democrat Senator Chris Coons and his witness to the reality that his progressive contemporaries there in on Capitol Hill, you know, need to be encouraged to actually reconnect with and then be reminded of the heart of faith, the reality of a faith in God that initially motivated them to move into public service. Because if we're going to have any sort of redemption culture-wide here in the United States of America, we're going to have some redemption in the area of our very, very partisan politics. All right, there's another political story today that involves a member of Congress, and that is Nancy Pelosi. So Nancy Pelosi is probably a name that most people recognize. She's actually a person who on a very regular basis testifies to her faith. She also happens to be a Democrat. And you probably know her as the former Speaker of the House. I mean, she's a very high profile Democrat in Congress. Well, last night she appeared in a show on VH1 that is called Drag Race. Now, Drag Race is a show featuring the drag lifestyle, drag queens, people who compete, drag queens who compete in this program. It's like a reality TV show, and they have all kinds of different areas that they compete in. Well, why would Nancy Pelosi appear on a show, on a reality TV show featuring drag queens and the drag, promoting the drag lifestyle? Well, that's a really good question. And so she was asked that question and she basically said, I couldn't resist. I'm so aligned with what the show is teaching. Well, what is the show teaching? Well, according to the executive producer of the show, his name is Randy Barbato, according to him, quote, Drag Race's mission is to teach the children and honor those who fight on our behalf, which is why they invited Nancy Pelosi onto the program. So when When you begin to recognize that there's no media out there that is being produced in a moral vacuum, it's all being produced for some kind of moral advocacy. So I'm right out front. Faith Radio is right out front. We are morally advocating that that our minds be aligned to the mind of Christ, and that our witness be aligned with the mind of Christ in all things. So we are interested in people being authentically Christian on every point, regardless of that whether or not that point lines up red or blue. Nancy Pelosi is now openly advocating that people on the Hill and the rest of us and our children learn from people who are drag queens. Now, I'm just going to tell you that is moral confusion, and that moral confusion is in evidence today in lots of sectors. So I'm not picking on her. I'm simply pointing out that we don't do anything in media in a moral vacuum. All right, friends, here in just a minute, I'm going to be having a conversation with a person who I greatly admire and appreciate his work. His name is Justin Gibney. He's an attorney and a political strategist in Atlanta, Georgia, and he's also the co-founder and president of the AND campaign. I can't wait to have a conversation with him about the dividing walls of hostility that Christ brought down that sometimes we have resurrected and what we can all do about that. So stay tuned. This is Connecting Faith. I'm Carmen LaBurge. I'll be right back. Hey, friends, I'm Carmen LaBurge. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. We're trying to discuss the real issues of the day and do so in real time, bringing the mind of Christ to bear on the matters of the day. And certainly the matters of the day for many of us are sort of the intersection of faith and politics and how our race as white or brown or black people plays into both of those conversations. And so one of my favorite people to have these conversations with and work with and align with in terms of the transformation of our culture is Justin Gibney. Justin is an attorney and a political strategist in Atlanta. He's the co-founder and president of the AND campaign, which is a coalition of urban Christians who are determined to address the socio-political issues that we all face with compassion and conviction in the spirit of Jesus Christ. So Justin has managed successful campaigns for elected officials, and he is active in terms of his own political advocacy, but he is authentically Christian in his approach to all of that. And so, Justin, welcome to Connecting Faith.
Hey, thanks for having me, my friend. I'm glad to be here.
So you and I have had lots of conversations about the AND campaign and what it is, but just introduce our listeners to the AND campaign and why we need it.
Sure. The AND campaign at its base is really, it's an effort to allow Christians to be able to engage politics and culture with biblical fidelity. Something, and really the impetus for it was this, and it's really kind of our the issue is our political landscape right now, where a lot of Christians want to participate in political and cultural issues because they see it as a matter of discipleship. I mean, politics touches every aspect of life for better or worse. It touches all these different aspects. And so for us not to engage, I think, would be a mistake. But when we engage, are we doing it with biblical fidelity? And I think we can look to the past and see how Christians have gotten politics wrong. And so what the AND campaign wants to do is create a framework for Christians to engage, but do that in a gospel-centered way. And the way that we think that happens is through compassion and conviction, through biblical values and social justice, which are things in our current in this area currently that are separated. But we don't think those things should be separated, and that's why we're called the AND campaign, because we want to combine compassion and conviction, social justice and biblical values, and do it in a way that glorifies God. The reason that it's needed is because Christians need to engage, but they have to do so in the right way. There are a lot of people are well-intentioned, but you can do the right thing the wrong way, and you won't necessarily be glorifying God.
All right, so let's talk about a couple of words that you've used that sometimes one side of the political aisle tends to lay claim to. And this is one of the things I love about the AND campaign is that you guys lay claim to both social justice and biblical fidelity. Let's talk about how in the past those terms have been sort of held hostage by particular political viewpoints and how you are integrating or reintegrating those two concepts.
Sure. Oftentimes when you think of biblical values or you think of family values, you think of the right. You think of the religious right. You think of conservatives. I think that perspective goes wrong if it's not tempered with, and I think this is biblical, with love and compassion. So it's one thing to say here is the boundaries that God has set up for us, and we believe that people flourish based on these boundaries. That's right. But there's also the fact that we understand that people are in situations and are going through things that could make it very hard for them to see why those boundaries are important or to even have an understanding of what those boundaries are. And so you always have to take those biblical values and have compassion at the same time. And on the other end, you hear the conversation about social justice. Some people don't like that word because they think it's been defiled, and I agree to some extent that it has been defiled. But there are a lot of things that have been defiled that Christians need to reclaim. And so we're reclaiming redemptive social justice, not just as something that liberates people to do anything they want to do, but actually focuses on the least of these and putting people in a better position. And so when you're talking about love and compassion and social justice, at the same time, you still need to talk about truth. It doesn't mean that we can create our own truth, that we can create our own reality. And so in many ways, and we see this in the gospel, to really have biblical values or to really have social justice, you need both, or you'll be missing something or going too far out of a biblical framework.
All right, I love that. Hey, friends, let me remind you, I'm talking to Justin Gibney. You can follow him on Twitter, and you can follow the AND campaign on Twitter at AND, A-N-D, campaign. You can also check out what we're talking about today at their website, theandcampaign.com. All right, Justin, so how do you guys at the AND campaign, how do you approach both cultural and civic engagement, which you make a distinction between those two, and I'd like for you to actually talk about both of those things, cultural engagement and civic engagement, and how are you equipping not just individuals, but you're equipping churches and you're equipping other organizations to do this kind of engagement? So just talk about how you're doing that.
Sure. A lot of it's just training, going out and speaking to people. It's messaging. It's, you know, we're using social media. We're using all of the new innovative platforms to get this message through. But it all has to start with Scripture. So regardless of what platform you're using or whatever, you have to start with Scripture and what Scripture says about how we're supposed to engage. We talk a lot about the Apostle Paul in Acts 17 when he was in Athens in the Agora and how he engaged people, not necessarily to coerce them, right, but to persuade them. And so we're trying to get people to change the posture, not to go out and try to force people to do everything we want them to do, but actually to persuade them. So the training starts there. And really a lot of our method and our thought about how to engage starts with Ephesians 4:15, where Paul is telling the church of Ephesus how we're all supposed to work as a body and how we're supposed to come together. But he also, as you go lower down, talks about how mature Christians are able to speak the truth in love. And so we see both of those two things there. And so as we go out and speak to people, we're really trying to create a framework and give them a framework that says, hey, when you look at an issue, are you looking at an issue from where the truth, what does the truth say about it? What does Scripture say about it? But also, what does our compassion say about it? How would Jesus treat someone in this specific area? Because we all know that we need grace. And so really, it's about training. It's going to the people, going to churches, going to youth groups, going to campus ministries, and really just spreading the word. That's the phase that we're at today. Now, when we talk about, you know, civics and culture, we understand that there is some overlap there. They're not completely separate. But more specifically, in civics, we're talking about policy. We're talking about how do we look at policy, how do policies affect people, and how should Christians look at these policies. When we talk about culture, we're talking about things like you just said, you know, music, different entertainment that we see. What messages are Christians sending, and how are we combating some of the negative messages that people see? A lot of that is done very well through our other co-founder, who is Sho Baraka, who's a Christian artist who does some of those things very well. But we have to have those conversations and then show people how they actually interact. And that's where we're at right now, really focused on the training and getting the word out.
So I love that. And one of the ways you guys are doing that is something called the Frontline Discipleship Tour. Now, I had the privilege of being at your inaugural Frontline Discipleship Tour event. So I'm familiar with what you guys are doing there. Tell us sort of like where the next one is, and then how folks can find out more information. Because I think, Justin, that as people are listening, my guess is they're nodding up and down, and they're saying to themselves, yeah, I mean, I would love to engage across the political aisle and across racial lines with other Christians who are concerned, who share these concerns with me, who want to be biblically faithful, who are concerned about the same kind of values that I'm concerned about. And yet we recognize that we got to find better answers to the questions than we have been finding in terms of the policies and the systems that we've developed in this nation. And so give folks an introduction to Frontline Discipleship Tour and where they can get more information about that.
Sure. So the Frontline Discipleship Tour, in a lot of ways, and I know this word communicates differently to different denominations, but in a way it's almost like a revival to some extent in how we go about it. It's a tour that we're going to 8 different cities. And the point of the tour, really, when we talk about frontline discipleship, a lot of millennials especially say, why isn't the church talking about some of the issues that matter to us, whether it's poverty, whether it's gender identity issues? Where's the church, and why aren't they talking with compassion and conviction? And we want this tour to kind of spark that conversation, to make Christians feel like we need to be there, we need to be having those conversations, much like Apostle Paul was having some very serious conversations. And so that's kind of the idea behind it. Our next stop, so we had our launch here in Atlanta a couple weeks ago, and then our next stop is going to be Los Angeles on March 23rd. From there, we're going to Memphis, Chicago, Minneapolis, Brooklyn, D.C., and Dallas.
All right, tell us, do you have a calendar in front of you? Because we got listeners right now who their just little heads just popped up because you said Minneapolis, which means you're coming to their city.
Yeah, so I have most of them in my head. I don't have right in front of me right now.
Where are we going to go online?
You can go online. You can actually go to our Twitter feed. If you go to at AND campaign, A-N-D campaign, you can find all the dates. Right there, and you'll know when we're coming to a city near you. So the next stop is L.A. on March 23rd, and then we'll be in Memphis on April 4th.
All right, I love it. Hey, we've got to take a quick break, but when I come back, we're going to continue this conversation with Justin Gibney, attorney, political strategist, co-founder and president of the AND campaign. We're going to be talking about the headline issues of the day, conversations about, you know, how we need to be bringing the mind of Christ to bear, even on the really hot topics going on, and how we do so with biblical fidelity. He's Justin Gibney. I am Carmen LaBerge. This is Connecting Faith, and we'll be right back. All right, friends, welcome back. This is Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBerge. We are seeking to address the real issues of the day, to do so in real time, bringing the mind of Christ to bear on the matters of the day and equipping you for the tough conversations that are happening everywhere around us. And we're trying to be Christians who engage in those conversations authentically, with a gospel perspective, and seeking to bring the truth to bear. And we need to do that in love, but we also need to do it with conviction. And so I'm having a conversation with Justin Gibney. He is an African-American. He's an attorney. He's a political strategist. And he is engaged in a movement called the AND Campaign. It's a coalition of urban Christians who are determined to address the socio-political arena with the compassion and conviction of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I really appreciate your approach, Justin, and so we're going to dive into some headline news. You and I both responded on Twitter in virtually the same way to this breaking news story this morning, where there's a very high-profile white evangelical pastor who is an advisor to the current president, who has now, like, publicly, I guess I'm going to use the word defended, publicly. He certainly has not he does not say that he is very concerned. He actually says that it's irrelevant if the president had an alleged affair with a porn star. How does this not help the conversation that we're trying to have in terms of an authentically Christian witness in the public square?
Because the character and behavior of our leaders is never irrelevant. Because the world is watching, our children are watching, and so it's not – all those things matter. Now, are they the only thing that matter? No, not the only thing that matter. But it's very problematic when, you know, someone misbehaves or someone shows a lack of character and they can call some Christian to come back them up and say, hey, it's really not a big deal. Don't pay attention to it. Just focus on the policy. Just focus on what he's getting done. You know, as far policy-wise and with legislation, and that's just false. It's always mattered, and I think the religious right for many years pointed out that character mattered, and I think to a certain extent they were right that character matters. So it has to matter now. It can't just matter when the person in office is someone who you like or someone who is supporting you. It can't just matter when you have a level of influence. It should always matter, and I think that's where people are finding a lot of hypocrisy in this conversation, is that it does matter, and you can't say it doesn't matter just because it's benefiting you at this moment.
Okay, so when we're trying to have, I think we're trying to have this conversation, and white evangelicals maybe tend to err on the side of faith is an individual private matter, And I think that even when we're having the conversations about racial injustice, when we're having conversations about systems, we err on the side of it's just individual. And so it's individual prejudice that we're concerned about when we use the word race or racism. Help us understand how that's not the reality when it comes to the experience a person is having in the systems of America today. Because I think these two conversations about moral character and about whether or not morals matter in terms of leadership, we can't, as evangelical Christians, have it both ways. We can't, on the one hand, say it's only individual and it only matters, you know, it's only about an individual faith, when in reality, other people who are Christians are experiencing it on an individual level because of a broken system and because of systemic problems. So I know that wasn't a very clear question, but I think you know what I'm trying to get at. And I'm hoping you will talk about some of the enduring structural challenges that we have that we need to address.
Sure. From a big biblical standpoint, I mean, if you look at the walk of Jesus, sure, personal piety is important, and he talked a lot about that. But it was manifest in a lot of ways through how he treated other people. Not only that, you have to look at the Great Commission, that we're supposed to be discipling people and drawing people to Jesus, and you can't do that when your public witness is confused, is hypocritical. You just can't do that. So your witness and who you are and being who you say you are matters in so many different ways. James talked about us having social concern and us acting on our faith. Us being active, we call it active social concern, not just saying, oh, bless your heart, I feel bad for you, but how are you trying to help someone? How are you trying to help your neighbor who is going through something? We see that through Jesus. We see that all through gospel, and so it has to matter. In a lot of ways, we talk about this in a lot of different ways, but when it comes to education, when it comes to poverty, Christians have to have something to say other than just for themselves. If we're going to love our neighbor like we love ourselves, then we need to act for them as we would act for ourselves. So if I had a child and he wasn't getting a very good education, I would go to the school and see what was going on. I would try to fix it because I love him. Well, if I love my neighbor the same way, I shouldn't be able to just sit and understand that they're getting cheated in their education, or they're getting cheated in housing and not do anything, because I wouldn't sit there and not do anything for myself. And so I think that translates into actually being active for others and not just saying, well, I'm going to pray for you. Although that is huge, and prayer does change things, God has also given us the ability to reach out and help others. And the more resources and health that we have, it just strengthens our opportunity to go out and actually help people and put our hands out there and make sure that we're helping folks get out of bad situations. We've been blessed with that opportunity, and we have to use it.
Let me ask you a personal question. You know, I don't think that it's a secret that you're a Democrat, so I don't think I'm, you know, outing you in any particular way here. What has your experience been as a pro-life Christian in the Democrat Party, and how do you feel about, like, this advocacy of Senator Chris Coons, where he's really appealing to his fellow Democrats on the Hill to be more public about how the Christian faith has played a role in their sense of calling to public service?
Yeah, so the pro-life issue first, you know, sadly, I wasn't always vocal about that. Struggled with it, wasn't as vocal as I could have been, and then maybe in 2015, somewhere around there, I started being a lot more vocal about it. And so it hadn't been as hard for me as it should have been for a long time. Once I started being vocal about it, well, you know, people start to exclude you from certain things, and it basically cuts you off from a lot of opportunities within the party. But that's okay. I think that's part of discipleship. And if there's nothing that people are a little weary about you as a Christian, then you might have a problem. So that's something we all have to take on. And you know, being a Christian, the thing is, it wouldn't be as hard to be a Christian as a Democrat, because there are a lot of Christian Democrats like Senator Coons, if we were just more vocal, if we didn't separate kind of our faith from our politics. And I want to be clear, I think that happens on both sides. But we've been talked into the idea that it's impolite to be unapologetically Christian in the public square, in the political space. And so what that does is it says, well, you can go to church and believe whatever you want to, as long as you keep it at church. And as long as it's kept at a church and you don't bring it into your policy or bring it into your speeches when you're talking to others, then you'll be fine. And so as long as Christians allow that to happen on both sides, then we are really limiting who we are. We're concealing our witness. And I don't see any justification for that in the gospel. You have to let your light shine. You're not here just to fit in. And so I would join Senator Coons in saying, hey, you guys have to be more vocal about who you are, because if you're not being vocal, it's a question. The question is, are you really who you say you are? And you need to let that be known as much as possible. And it takes time. And so I have to be very gracious and charitable in that regard, because for years I wasn't doing it either. I kind of fell for that narrative that said, hey, you got to separate those two because it's just not nice. It's just not polite. The truth of the matter is, if I'm not telling someone I love the truth, then I'm doing them a disservice. And so once Christians start seeing it that way and start understanding it's not our job to enforce or coerce people to do certain things, but we are supposed to be persuasive and really leaning in as we try to disciple, and politics is a perfect way to do that.
I know that people are thinking right now, Justin, the same thing that I was thinking the very first time that I met you and heard you, which is just that I am so glad to be sharing this time in history with this brother. And I count it a privilege to be in the United States of America right now with you, sharing this witness, because I feel like God is lifting up the AND campaign and lifting up you to bring the kind of transformation to our culture that, frankly, white evangelicals would now at this point in history never be able to bring about. And so I am one person who is relying on you to continue speaking and encouraging and bringing these conversations to the fore and challenging those of us who share your faith and share your inheritance as fellow citizens in the kingdom of heaven, but don't share your historical experience as a black man in the United States of America. And so I'm frankly excited about the prospects for the AND campaign and the way that God is going to use it and use you to bring genuine transformation, which is what we need now. We're sort of at the point where what we need is transformation in our culture. And I think that transformation has to come through Christ. It has to come by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it has to come through people who are using whatever their gifts are. Yours happen to be, in the area of public policy and, frankly, motivating people to get off the sidelines. Show Baraka's gifts and talents are somewhat different than that. But I love how you guys are bringing just the collective witness of lots of different people from lots of different backgrounds, with lots of different gifts, and the way you're bringing it to bear on the issues of the day. We are facing, really significant cultural issues, and some of those issues need to be dealt with at a public policy level. And so I appreciate that you talk with everyone. You exclude no one from the conversation. And I appreciate that you are willing to be patient with those of us who need to be educated in some things that we might have missed along the way. And then I love how you are inviting people to become a part of the AND campaign, no matter where they live, no matter what walk of life they're from. And basically what you're telling people is, if you're in America, you got a voice and you got a vote. And so this is an opportunity to actually engage. Thank you in advance for an ongoing conversation about these issues. And I hope that you'll come back and bring us up to date and let us know how we can fan the flame of this movement.
Well, thank you, Carmen. Honestly, without partnerships like you, people like you, there would be no AND campaign. So we appreciate what you're doing, giving us an opportunity and platform to speak. Thank you for all that you're doing as well, and taking the step to understand, taking the step to have true partnerships. We appreciate that.
All right, friends, the movement is called The AND Campaign. You can find it online at The AND Campaign. You can find it on Twitter at AND Campaign. My conversation partner is Justin Gibney. He's the co-founder and president of The AND Campaign. Justin, thank you so much for being with us today on Connecting Faith.
Thank you for having me, Carmen. You take care now.
All right, friends, we'll be right back. Hey friends, welcome back. This is Connecting Faith. I am your host, Carmen LaBurge. I like to call this point in the show the connecting point on Connecting Faith. So, how do we now take everything that we've been talking about in this hour and the conversation we just had with Justin Gibney, and how do we, make those connections to the conversations that we're having in real life? And so what does it look like for each of us, no matter our walk of life and our color of skin, to actually enter into the conversations in the culture today that are frankly kind of hard to have, right? It is not easy to be a white evangelical today. It's just not, because that phrase, white evangelical, tends to get used in ways that maybe don't include us in terms of the way folks are characterizing white evangelicalism. On the other hand, you're thinking to yourself, well, if I happen to be white and I happen to be an evangelical, then technically I'm a white evangelical. And so what does that look like? And how do I, how do I say, okay, yes, my skin color happens to be this particular pigment. And my faith is evangelical because I believe in the evangel. I believe in the good news. I believe in Jesus Christ. I have a gospel perspective on the world. I want people to know the good news of who Jesus Christ is. And so, yes, I'm an evangelical. And I believe in the reality of who God is, and I believe that He intends to redeem all things at the consummation of all things when Jesus Christ comes again to judge the living and the dead. Like, these are like primary beliefs for evangelical Christians. And so we say to ourselves, in our culture, in the American culture today, we're then faced with the ongoing challenge of racial division when there really shouldn't be. Like, as Christians, we recognize that no matter what your skin color is, you stand on equal footing at creation, made in the image of God, every single one of us. You stand on equal footing at the cross. Every single one of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and stands in need of salvation. And God's remedy is the person of Jesus Christ and the work of Christ upon the cross. And we come to the Father by no other means but by Him. And so we're on equal footing at creation as made in the image of God. We're on equal footing at the foot of the cross. And we are on equal footing with brothers and sisters in Christ from every nation and tribe under heaven in the kingdom of God. If you read the book of Revelation, then you know that the kingdom of heaven, where you and I are going to spend eternity together, is a tremendously, beautifully, racially diverse reality. Every tribe and nation under heaven is represented in the family of faith into which we have been adopted in Jesus Christ. And so how do we then live as a provisional demonstration of the kingdom of heaven right here and right now? That's the question that stands before us as Christians in 21st century America. How do we live as a provisional demonstration of the kingdom of heaven amidst the kingdoms of this world, in this particular kingdom in which we have been called for such a time as this? That happens to be 21st century United States of America. That happens to be the place to which God has called and sent us. And so it doesn't really matter how you imagine you might have lived as a Christian 200 years ago in America. It matters how you're going to live as a Christian in the context of America now. And in the context of America now, we have very polarized politics. And we have an ongoing challenge that's created over centuries by something called systemic racism. And I'm not saying that you personally are racist. So again, this gets us to the conversation. This returns us to the conversation about no one is accusing you of being individually racist when we talk about there being systems of inequality, systems of racial inequality in the United States of America today. Okay, so we have to become non-defensive in our response, all right? We have to become people who are actually interested in learning about the experiences of our Black and brown brothers and sisters. And we have to be people who begin to understand that racial reconciliation isn't just something that's optional for Christians. It's actually a biblical mandate. So if you've never read the book of Philemon as God's answer to the race question, and the question of race, I'm going to invite you to read the book of Philemon and then let me know what you think it has to say about the way the gospel makes us brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ in a way that supersedes all kinds of divisions among us. And how seriously do we take what the Bible says about Jesus Christ having brought down every dividing wall of hostility between us? How seriously do we take that? How seriously do we take the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace that we enjoy in Christ with our brothers and sisters? I am going to spend eternity with everybody else who is saved in Christ. I mean, those are my brothers and sisters. I actually have a more intimate, eternal relationship with Christians who live on the other side of the world, whose circumstances of life I will never know, and whose skin is very dark, than I have with other white folks living in the U.S. who are not Christians. And so you and I have got to begin to get a grip on that, that our brothers and sisters happen to be people of all kinds of racial and national diversities. And those are our brothers and sisters. Those are the people that we are knit together with in the kingdom of heaven forever. And they are the people who, with whom right here and right now, God is calling us to collectively bear witness to that reality of the kingdom. So how are we going to bear authentic witness to the reality of the tremendous racial diversity of the kingdom of heaven? How are we going to be a provisional demonstration of that right here and right now? And how are we going to actively engage in this cultural moment, not only to advance individual evangelism, but to evangelize, re-evangelize our culture in terms of bringing systemic transformation? And that's at the, you know, the civic and the policy level. All right, I know that's a lot to chew on a Friday afternoon. I have this big news to share with you. You're going to lose an hour this weekend. So I don't know. I don't really ever feel like we get that back when we fall back, but we are going to spring forward. So you need to plan ahead as you spring forward. Otherwise, you know, you'll be an hour late on Monday to Connecting Faith, and we wouldn't want that to happen. Hey, you can connect with us anytime, anywhere. You can email me. I am Carmen@myfaithradio.com. I'm on Twitter @CarmenLaBerge. You can join us at myfaithradio.com for all kinds of things. And right now you can go there to sign up for the Faith Radio Writers Conference. That's July 13th and 14th in St. Paul on the campus of Northwestern. And so invite you to check that out. I would also invite you to go ahead and download the Faith Radio app so you can listen wherever you are on any of your connected devices 24 hours a day. We'd love it if you would sign up for the podcast and share today's show with someone new. The easiest way to do that, obviously, is to like subscribe to the podcast, and then you can share it. It won't be very long before you could go to myfaithradio.com, go to the Connecting Faith page, and you'll be able to actually find today's show. And then you could just send the link to someone else. We'd always appreciate that. All right, friends, I'm always looking not only for listener feedback, but listener engagement. And you can do that by emailing me. I'm at Carmen@myfaithradio.com. All right, friends, as we prepare ourselves in these final days of the season of Lent leading up to what will be Holy Week and then Good Friday and then gloriously Easter, I just want you, I just want to invite you, if you haven't sort of paused and taken into account the incredible grace it is that Jesus Christ, fully God, fully the second member of the Trinity for all eternity, present at creation, I mean, through whom and for whom all things were created and without whom nothing that is was ever created. That Jesus condescended to take on human flesh and dwell among us full of grace and truth in order that on our behalf he might go to the cross. To do what? To reconcile us to the Father, that we might enjoy a fully restored relationship with God, that we might know God, and that having a substantially restored relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we might actually be restored to our own right minds and into a right relationship with ourselves. And then, yes, that we might turn and be in right relationships with others. If you've ever wondered why your relationships with other people are broken, it's because the breakdown in the relationship is the one with God. We got to be made right with God through Jesus Christ in order that we might ever be in our own right minds and in order that we might actually have right and righteous relationships with other people. Yes, that is true in our families, but it's also true system-wide in the culture in which we live. All right, friends, it is my privilege and pleasure to be here on Connecting Faith with you every single day. I would love to hear from you. You can always leave me a message at the studio. That number is 877-93-FAITH. You can communicate with me on Twitter at Carmen LaBerge. And if you want to join me right now on Facebook Live, I'll be on Facebook continuing this conversation. So check it out. Hey, friends, have a great day. God bless. I'll see you back on Connecting Faith on Monday.
Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support, and you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.